Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hello, this is Chris Stainis, and you're listening to Voices of Women. I'd like to welcome you today to this hour where I'll be introducing you to some amazing women leaders and authors. So my mission is to empower the feminine voice, and there are many organizations now where women can gather and support each other. Women are rising into leadership, and I want to encourage you to explore your gifts. What is your purpose? What are your unique gifts to share? So I encourage you to look for organizations in your area. Do a Google search and find the support you need with other women, because we can't do it alone. And if you're alone for the holidays, please get together with friends or find a church that serves dinner. I know Seattle Unity Church has a Thanksgiving dinner. So my advice is not isolate yourself during the holidays. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom and the conference. We have a unique experiential gathering in February 17th through 21st. I want you to know about our special. Price for the full weekend is $270. That's available through December 15th. So I want to encourage you to give yourself a present for the holidays this year. You can go to womenofwisdom.org to read about all the events. So let me introduce you to my first guest, Jill Jepson. Jill is a writer, linguistic anthropologist, and a writing coach. She is the author of many articles and three books, including Writing as a Sacred Path, A Practical Guide to Writing with Passion and Purpose. She has traveled throughout the world exploring spiritual traditions and uses her knowledge of spirituality to guide and support writers. Currently, she teaches writing and linguistics at St. Catherine University in St. Paul, Minnesota. And you can go to her website to read all about her at www.writingthewhirlwind.net. Hello, Jill. Welcome to Voices of Women. How are you?
I'm fine, and thanks for having me, Chris. I'm delighted to speak with you.
Yes, and we'll get to meet each other in February. I'm looking forward to that.
So am I.
So let's talk about the spiritual paths of the writer. Can you describe those?
Yes. As I created my book, Writing as a Spiritual Path, I interviewed scores of writers, actually over 100 writers, and of all levels and types, and I read tons of biographies of writers and letters of writers to kind of get at how writers thought about their writing, and discovered really virtually all writers have a spiritual aspect to their writing, even writers who wouldn't really consider themselves spiritual people in a lot of ways. Their writing has a very spiritual element to it. And I began to see that there were really four basic or fundamental spiritual paths that writers followed. One of those paths is the path of the warrior, the path in which the writer must be strong, must stand up for the truth, and to speak the truth, and to speak honestly. And that's a very fundamental role of the writer, is to tell the truth and make the truth come out, even when it's difficult and even when it's a challenge for them. And that's a very warrior-like role. The second role that I explored was the role of the monk. A very different kind of role from the warrior, but very fundamental to the writer. Writers and monks actually have a lot in common, even though it may not seem like they do initially. They're both devoted to a very challenging path that's really a higher path. It's a path that goes beyond who they are. It's a path of giving to the world in a higher sense, in a greater sense. And they do it really for the sake of the work itself. Even though a writer may dream of success and fame, most writers really write for the work itself, for the writing itself, just as the monk engages in meditation and prayer and work for the sake of the work, for the sake of giving voice to the divine. the third path I looked at was the path of the shaman. People who are familiar with shamanism know that the role of the shaman is to venture into the spirit world, to face challenges there, and then to return to the earthly realm with healing power and knowledge. And writers do this every time they write. Their spirit realm may be the dark underworld of the world, the dark side of the world, or the sort of caves and crannies of their own subconscious, where, you know, we spend a great deal of time exploring, coming up with images, and often facing some real dark realities, but we emerge at the other side with works of literature that have a healing quality, just as the shaman returns from the underworld with healing knowledge and power. And the final path that I explored was the path of the mystic. And this is the being who has a kind of direct ability to kind of access the divine in a direct way, and will go into a mystic state, which is a kind of indescribable state in which they feel the boundaries of the self kind of dissolve and really experience the divine in a direct way. Any writers may not actually be mystics in a full sense, but they have somewhat mystic states whenever they write, when they lose themselves in their writing and feel as if something is coming to them from beyond. So these are the four realms that I explore, the four paths that I explore in detail in writing as a sacred path.
Well, that's very interesting, and I wonder, do people generally take one of those, and that's kind of their, you know, everybody has sort of their identity as a writer, what kind of writings they do, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, what's the topic. Do they also fall under these four categories separately, or do writers do all four?
I think that all four exist in the lives of every writer, but most writers have one that they relate to the most. When they read Writing as a Sacred Path, they'll really say, oh, yes, this is the path that I'm following. And there may be elements of the monk and the mystic and the shaman, but I'm really a warrior in my heart as a writer. Or, you know, they may relate more to the mystic or the monk. I mean, one will really manifest more intensely, but the others are there.
Do you feel one is more important as far as the audience, or are they equal?
I think they're all equal. I think they all have a real vital importance in the life of the writer and in the writer's work.
So what ways is writing a sacred act?
Well, writing is a sacred act in a number of ways. When we tell a story, which is what all writers are doing, regardless of what kind of writing they're doing, we're, first of all, actually giving voice to the human experience. We're serving as kind of, actually, F. Scott Fitzgerald used the phrase, the consciousness of the human race, that's what writers are. So that's what we're really doing. We're serving as the voice or the conscience of human beings and telling the human story. When you read a story, you become aware that human beings are all linked, in fact, all living beings. Are linked, and that is something that you become aware of as you read the story. You read a story of another person, or the story that comes out of the imagination of someone else. Stories also transcend time and space. We can read a story from 2,000 years ago and still be moved by it. So, in these ways, stories really go beyond everyday life into the realm of the sacred.
Yes, that's true. And so you talked about the spiritual life. How can developing a spiritual life help deepen and strengthen a person's writing?
Well, I believe that the inner life, the individual's inner life, and their writing are inextricable. They're really one and the same. Everything that has an impact on your inner life will emerge in your writing, and everything that happens in your writing will be a reflection of or reflect in your inner life. So as you develop as a spiritual person, your writing will naturally deepen. It will grow richer. Your connection with your audience will deepen. The more enlightened and the more in touch with your spirituality you become, no matter what form that takes, your writing, that will be reflected in the depth and richness of your writing.
Well, thanks so much, Jill, for sharing that with us. And I want the audience to know they can learn all about Jill at Writing the Whirlwind. That's whirlwind.net. And Jill is giving away to the first three callers three gifts, a copy of her book, Writing as a Sacred Path, and also a half-hour coaching session. So the first three callers, call 800-930-2819. It's 800-930-2819. You are listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk to Charlene Hidalgo, author of The Healing Power of Trees. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
ReserveAge Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including ReserveAge resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from ReserveAge Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. ReserveAge Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at ReserveAge.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit ReserveAge.com and feel vitality today. Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network.
And
Dr. Pat!
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
1230 WBLQ.
This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. My next guest is Charlene Hidalgo, who will share the Celtic trees and their unique gifts of healing, guidance, and inner consciousness. Charlene is a counselor and a practicing astrologer, dream interpreter, and tarot reader. She is a certified teacher and practitioner of alchemical healing with Nikki Scully, and she teaches classes in the Egyptian mysteries and the Celtic tree calendar. She has a brand new book called The Healing Power of Trees, Spiritual Journeys Through the Celtic Tree Calendar. Welcome, Charlene.
Thanks. How are you?
How
are you?
I'm great.
Good.
How did this book come about?
I wasn't writing a book. My ancestors are from the British Isles, and I wanted to learn something about, you know, that indigenous part of the world. So I started studying on my own and then compiled information so that I could teach classes. So I never intended really to write a book, but by the time I was done, I had, you know, a really lot of information and personal stories of healing, and I had done many classes and workshops. So that's kind of how it got put together.
Yeah, that's often the case. You know, we're just kind of led. It's almost the book writes us.
Yeah.
So can you give an example of tree healing?
Yeah, my first interesting experience was really like 30 years ago, because my son was a baby, and he was a very difficult baby, and he never slept, and I was kind of a frantic mom. And one day I was just feeling really crazy and upset, and I ran out to the backyard, I don't know why, and ran into the arms of this really large grandmother tree, apple tree, and put my arms around her, and she responded. There was a physical feeling of love and support, and I could feel it in my body. I was really quite startled, and because I'd never had anything like that happen before and wasn't expecting it. And after I was done hugging the tree, I went back in and I felt renewed. I felt like, oh, I could do this, even with all the lack of sleep and so forth. So that was really my first sort of other consciousness experience with the tree, and it really helped me get back to work and be a good mom.
Yeah, that's great. I had a healing experience. I used to camp as a kid, and I hadn't for about 10 years, and my husband and I went over to Eastern Washington, and I literally just sat amongst the trees for the whole weekend. I didn't have to leave the campfire, and it was very healing. I think I could have stayed there a month just to reclaim that part of me that I had let go of. So
yeah,
they bring
a really strong sense of peace and sacredness, and just to sit with a tree can really clear your mind. And they often will just draw off that excess energy or negativity and just give it, you know, send it back to the earth, and that energy can be reused in a positive way.
Yeah, and that's so, really great information for people who are listening. If you're feeling very emotional right now, just go take a walk and be out in the woods by the trees. So tell us, what is the Celtic tree calendar?
Well, it's based on 15 particular trees in the British Isles. And really there's 12 trees, and then 2 trees share a month. So it's for every month of the year. There's and it goes with the moon cycles. And every tree is a special teacher of ancient wisdom and sort of, you know, the renewal of the season. Every tree has a different message. And it also goes with the Ogham, which are the ancient alphabet of the Celts, and astrology and runes. So each tree is a teacher. And the ancient wisdom, as it was coming through the British Mystery School, is put into that body of information.
So did you go sit by each of those trees to learn what their message was?
No, I mean, some of them we don't have here. The ones I could find, I did. But otherwise, I would get a picture, you know, on the Internet, or I would go to the library, and then I would just sit with that tree internally, or kind of like conjure it up within my mind's eye, so that I could learn about it. And there's also lots of information you can find on the Internet or whatever. For instance, a yew tree sometimes they're thousands of years old in the British Isles, and we have yew trees here, but they're different.
So we can just tap into that energy by meditating on that tree.
Yeah, if I can't find the tree, then I just go inside, and like if it's a particular month or a particular holiday, I'll just maybe have that picture of the tree in front of me and then just close my eyes and go inside and connect. And then often the different totems, deities, and spirit guides that go with that tree show up, too, with specific information.
So talk a little more about that. What do you mean by the guides and totems and deities?
Well, what I like about the Celtic tree calendar is that it represents a way of thinking that includes the unseen world. And so connection with inner totems and a particular animal guide or a particular deity like Bridget, who represents beauty and creative arts, is available to you. And they often, because we're symbolists, humans are, we see things in pictures or symbols. And so this is the way that the inner world shares wisdom with us. So we see them in dreams or guided meditations, synchronicities, things like that. And they impart wisdom.
Right. So like in a dream, and I see in your information you mentioned about a dolphin. You have a totem as a dolphin that saved your life. So you have a dream of an animal, and so to tune into that, like, oh, that may be a totem. What can I learn from this animal?
Right. Yeah, and in my case, I was having a really hard time and asked for help, had a dream, and what the totem in the dream showed me was a strong sense of connection and love, and that's what was missing in my life at the time. And so I really got this radiance, this sense of unconditional love from this dream animal. And that changed my life. You know, one dream and one totem. And that totem is with me now, you know, all the time, shows up for healing experiences.
So how can we give back to the trees?
Well, there's lots of organizations that will plant a tree in your name. And in my book, I have a whole list of them. But you can go on the Internet and just put helping trees or planting trees. One of them is the Arbor Day Foundation. And they do things like help with the ecology of certain trees. They'll help with trees in your neighborhood that you're trying to preserve. There's information about how to take care of the trees that are in your yard. And just noticing your tree does it have disease? Get an arborist in, making sure it has enough water during drought, taking care of it after ice storms. And then mostly just giving them gratitude for the fact that they give us our oxygen. You know, when you walk by one, give it your gratitude.
Not just trees, but I'm thinking of plants. I know I've been out in nature sometimes, and a little wind will come out, and it's like the leaves or the flowers are waving to me, and it's almost like they're talking to me. Do you get that sense too?
Yeah, and you know, they like, especially like what's the tree? The ones with little leaves. I'm not thinking like a birch tree. They whisper in the wind. They're tall and they have little leaves, and when the wind blows through them, they have little messages. So, you know, just go inside, and if you don't hear something, pretend that you hear something or imagine that you hear something, because it all works the same. You get a message. And
yes,
mostly the
and
message is that you are valuable and that we're all connected and that we're all sacred and that we're here to take care of each other.
Yes, and you get those messages just when you need them. But I think one of our problems is we are all so busy, we don't stop to listen. You know, when you have that clear moment when you're walking and all of a sudden you hear a sound like, wow, listen to the wind through the trees. And it's an amazing experience when it happens, and usually we don't take the time.
I know. And really my experiences started out with me being in a very troubled state. So they were more, I think, dramatic in talking to me. But when I'm just kind of busy in general, I'm not as connected in that way, so I really have to make time. And I do it with a different month, so I'll pay attention to the tree. For instance, right now it's the Rowan tree for this period of time. And so I pay particular attention to that tree during this month, during December.
Now, I haven't heard of a rowan tree, so that's something. Do we have
in
our country?
You can look it up on the Internet. I love the Internet.
We have lots of rowans.
We have lots of rowans, and they're really beautiful trees.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want the audience to know that Charlene has given away a story she has on the Internet. If you go to her website, it's a story of her totem dolphin, saved her life, and communicated a series of transmissions from the etheric dolphins called the Dolphin Scroll. So you can download the story from her website. Can you give the website address, Charlene?
It's alchemicalhealingarts.com. So just www.alchemicalhealingarts.com.
Well, that's great. Well, I love talking about the trees. We're going to have to get together in person. I want everybody to know that Charlene is doing a workshop on this topic at Woman of Wisdom in February 17th to the 21st. So that would be something if you're interested in nature, interested in totems, interested in trees, you're going to want to join us. So I am Chris Stainis, and you're listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, we will talk to Vajra Ma about woman's natural spiritual authority. So we'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com. The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
You are a wondrous expression of God, Source, Spirit, Universe. How do you let this be fully realized in your everyday physical life? Oriella coaches and teaches people how to awaken their spiritual power. She also releases and replaces what is limiting and holding them back. Her no-nonsense, logical approach allows you to fully and easily understand how you can live life more fully, more abundantly, more powerfully by awakening to your spiritual power. For information, visit awakentoyourspiritualpower.com.
The average American spends $16 a day on food, and statistically, 2 out of 3 are considered overweight. With the Take Shape for Life program, you can not only shed those extra pounds on your way to living life at optimal health, you might be surprised to actually save money doing it. Talk to a Take Shape for Life certified health coach who's lost the extra pounds and listen to the passion in their voice and to the story of their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
We're back on Voices of Women with Chris Stainis, and I have Vajra Ma here. So do you know which medieval woman, a nun, chastised princes and popes and got away with it? She wrote sensual poetry about lovemaking and got away with it? Was a practicing herbalist and got away with it? And how do you think she did get away with it? And here's another question for you to ponder. What centuries-old prophecy is being fulfilled today by a certain group of women asserting their natural spiritual authority around the world? So our next guest, Vajra, will answer these questions for us. Vajra has facilitated movement, voice, and ritual for over 25 years, guiding women to align with the original sacred text, Woman's Body and Womb. In the early 90s, Vajra Ma founded Woman Mysteries of the Ancient Future Sisterhood, a priestess lineage with its core practice, the tantric dance of feminine power, the womb-sourced yoga of feminine wisdom. Welcome, Vajra. So first, let's answer those questions. Who was that medieval nun?
Okay. Hildegard of Bingen, and a lot of people have heard about her. She was known as the Sibyl of the Rhine, and she was she practiced medicine. She was a theologian. She was a writer. She was an artist, a fantastic artist, with images that are very connected to the female, or the Viscopiscus, which is the female vulva, and she was the head of an abbey. And she did. She chastised popes and princes. I don't know how she got away with it. But she was definitely a woman who was standing in her natural spiritual authority, though she would not call it that. She was a devout Catholic, but she was a very strong woman and self-referred. So, and she was also a musician. And she was she was a composer, and her music is still being performed today. Most people have heard about her, I think, Hildegard of Bingen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and what's the prophecy?
The prophecy, the centuries-year-old prophecy, is a Native American prophecy that when humanity needed it, there would be 13 grandmothers who would come together and help guide humanity back into right relationship. Those are my words, as are Native American words, but I'm phrasing it that way, back into right relationship with the earth and, with the sacred hoop of life. And that has been fulfilled, and that is the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers, who were founded in 2004. And they are traveling the world as a group on behalf of establishing peace and bringing people back into right relationship.
Yes, they're doing amazing work.
They are.
So what do you mean by woman's natural spiritual authority?
Well, what I mean by that is, it is historical. Woman's spiritual authority is historical. And we were the first shamans, the original shamans. We were the original priestesses, the original leaders of humanity spiritually. And it's only in the last 6,000 years that's been turned upside down and reversed. And the reason women were the natural spiritual leaders is because it's a natural cascade of factors that come out of motherhood. Natural spiritual, woman is natural. If you look at a lioness, I like to use the analogy of a lion who is a supreme mother. And what does she do? She births her cubs. She authors them. She's the author of them, the creator. So she is responsible for them. And she nurtures them, she feeds them, she protects them, she teaches them how to hunt, she teaches them how to hide when they need to. So, and their survival depends upon her authority. In other words, her teaching them. And it's the same thing with human beings. Women are the natural spiritual authority because we do the same thing for our children, but we also have to, we also counsel them in the more human dimensions of emotions, mental awareness, mental development, and spiritual development. So it's a natural cascade of woman's physical authority and responsibility. So natural spiritual authority is not separate from responsibility and the whole matrix of life, and that's what makes it different. Because we think of authority today, we think of, forcing someone to do something, the authorities, coercing people, domination. But that's the exact opposite of what true authority is, because true authority is embedded in life. And the word comes from author, which means to create. So what you create, you're also responsible to and you're in relationship to. So that's what I mean by natural spiritual authority. And what I want to say to women, Chris, is to unapologetically reclaim that, to stand in that, because the world needs it. It matters globally, because that is what is going to bring us back into right relationship, is for women,
yes, that's,
women to take that position again.
And that's what's needed to bring the balance. We want a balance of the male and the masculine and feminine energies. And right now, most of us know, it's not very balanced.
It's not balanced. And the thing about woman is that we are, you know, woman as a collective is naturally inclusive. We include our children. We include our mates. The circle of women, you know, you include because you're in relationship with that. You give birth to something, you're in relationship with it. You care for it. You don't separate yourself out from it and then dominate it. That's not natural. So, you know, the balance comes from relationship.
So what do you think women need to do to reclaim it? How are they going to reclaim it?
Well, read my book. and I'm joking, but I'm serious, because once you see it really clearly delineated, it helps you to take off the shackles of that conditioning. Because this, we've really internalized that man is the head of the household, or men are in charge, or it's always been this way. And also that this idea that we need to bring women into the arena of politics and government and all of this. It's not something that we're stepping up to. This is something that we are regaining. And when you have a base of understanding that this is something that women held naturally, governmental, spiritual, leadership, you know, leadership of the tribe, of the cities, everything, then you can sit more authoritatively, more confidently in what is natural. What women need to do is, first of all, recognize that we hold this natural spiritual authority, and we hold it as a collective. It's not women dominating other women or children or anything. When women get together, we have a way of functioning that is naturally inclusive. You know, women like to sit in a circle. The collective consciousness of woman is different than the collective consciousness of men. And women, I would think that the best example I could give of this is the women in Liberia and their mass action for peace, a brutal civil war. And one woman had a dream, Lima Bowie. She had what she called a silly dream, and she's a Methodist, okay? She's an African Methodist. And the dream was to gather the women to chant and sing and pray for peace. And she thought, well, what good is that going to do when there's this brutal war going on? And what they did is they got together, and they chanted and sang and danced for peace. And the natural spiritual authority always comes from a spiritual orientation. And, a spiritual orientation trumps politics. So they came from that spiritual orientation. They wanted to create peace. They kept asking the warlord for peace, Charles Taylor, the president. We want peace. They never criticized him politically. They kept saying, we want peace negotiations, peace negotiations, peace negotiations for the children. They're doing it for the children. And because they came from this, they pursued this for 3 years, okay? And I maintain that they were successful, and they were successful. They got the negotiations, and Charles Taylor was exiled, and they did establish peace in Liberia. And I think they did it because they had the spiritual base. So that's what women can do, is to, you know, establish their own spiritual base, come together collectively, come together in moon lodges, because that's one of the oldest ways that women received wisdom for humanity, was coming together in the moon lodges. And we see this, you know, this red tent movement now, where women are recognizing the power of our own menstrual cycle. That's a natural shamanic time. And women used to collectively come together and gain wisdom for the people. Grandmother Rebineau of the 13 indigenous grandmothers from Gabon, Africa, she says that grandmothers are the root of all nations. And that comes from the Moon Lodge and the wisdom that women gain throughout their lives by going into the shamanic descent each month. It's a whole factor of women's experience that's been trivialized and we've been cut off from, dismembered from. but the psychic perception and the shamanic powers originally came through woman's menstrual cycle.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.